Back to get it. Are we going here? Proverbs 3:6. You can kind of start moving your pages to Proverbs 3:6. It's kind of like, you know, as we've gone through life, and we all are doing life. You know, as you go through life, you have to have an understanding, don't you? Understanding of what's taking place and for yourselves. But we believe that we need an understanding as to what is we're to do. What are we to do? Remember last week I said, God, what do you want from me? You know, you can look that up on the web. But he wants us. He wants you totally for himself. Well, as we look at this and try to get an understanding as to what are we to do, in the natural, you know, we can have our own understanding and give us some directions, and we can get our directions going that way. But we've got to look at some of the things of God. And actually, I think what you'll find is, as we have our own understanding of what we are to do and need to do and how to do it, even in our personal things, even in the natural, it is really good if you can hook up to God and lean onto Him. Amen? And His understanding. Don't try to have your understanding in it. But in the things of God, it makes it more difficult to just come to Him or to trust Him if we don't have that ability to take away from my understanding and say, I don't understand this. Remember, a few weeks back now, even further, one of the messages was when the disciples left Jesus after the multitude being fed and whatnot, and they crossed over the lake, and He said, those come because of what I can give them. They follow me because of what I can give them. And He began to share about the communion of His body, His blood, drinking and eating. And some of those in that group of people said, this is too hard for us to understand. This is too hard to figure this out. And they left Him. And part of that message, or that message, hopefully if you remember that, was the fact that we as men and women, when we don't understand something, generally we'll leave it and say, if I don't understand it and it doesn't make sense, I will put it aside and do something that I do know. And if you follow that format with the things of God and the things of Jesus and the things of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will be putting a lot of things aside that belong to Him, because He works in that realm of we don't understand a lot of things. But we're not to lean on our own understanding. It's to trust Him. To be able to say, I may not know where this path is leading me, but I know that God is directing it. That says a lot right there. That should give you some confidence. That should give you some peace. If you can sit there and say, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I see ahead, but I know that God has put me on this path, and with Him putting me on this path, He's going to be there to direct it. And we'll get into some scriptures here. That you can trust that He will be with you and see you through whatever it is that you may be going through, even now, through the things of this life. And we all are going through life, and we've talked about this. It's just like life is happening to everybody, whether you're a pastor, whether you're in the church, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian, whatever the case is, a lot of things in life just happen to be life. And we go through a lot of stuff. But we've got to realize and understand that if we have that faith in Him, if we have that trust in Him, if we know that He has our backs for us, so to speak, that we will come through this too. Maybe not the way we want it to be, may not be the answer that we're looking for, but if we have our trust in God, and God gives us every good gift comes from God, that I believe that good things will eventually come about in whatever the situation is that we go through. So I've had you go to Proverbs 3:6, and that's where we want to kind of focus the message today. And 3:6, Proverbs 3, 5, and 5 through 6. Let me go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Understanding is your own knowing, your own intelligence, your own intellect, your own skill. You know, there's a lot of things that God brings you through that your intellect, that your skill, that your intelligence doesn't meet up the same with His, does it? That's where that part is, that I just don't understand this. It doesn't make sense, God. But lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. some other modern translations would say, and some other translations would say this, make your paths straight. King James, New King James says, he shall direct your paths. Some will say, he shall make your paths straight. Now, we all know that when you're on a straight path, it gets you from point A to point B pretty quick, doesn't it? The Living Bible says, if you want favor, listen to this, with both God and men, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. I like that. I like the Living where it says this, that if you want favor with both God and man, see, as we try to please God and man, it's hard. It's hard to please man and God. But I'm going to tell you that if I can please God, and this goes, I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, it's been 12 years as a senior pastor here now, and it's been many years. And I remember some of the first messages I had as stepping into this is said that I'm not here to please you. I don't know. Nobody fell out of their seats. That's okay. But I said, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please my Lord and to do what he wants me to do. And then I said this, and it rings in my mind over and over, but if I please my God, I believe you will be pleased as well with me. And here this is kind of telling me this in the Living Bible. It says, if you want favor both with God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, what's it saying to do in the Living? It says, trust the Lord completely. The Lord, trust him completely. He is not going to lead you down a failed path. He's not going to take you into a room to where it's totally dark and there's no way out. He's going to bring you into a spot that's going to, it might be dark when you walk in, but when he shows up with you, the light's going to be there. You're going to see where you're going, what you're doing, what he has planned. Now, he will show you just maybe a snippet of a little of it all, because he will not show you everything and reflections of those things, because for most of us in our own intellect, we'll start figuring this thing out, is that I can't do that. That's impossible. That's beyond me. That's not even, I don't even want to do that because of whatever that's made up in us. So God will bring you into his path, his direction in your life, into where you've disconnected, and I've had to, and I'm sure how many here have disconnected some of your understanding and the things in your life to be able to understand what he's asking you to do. Because in some instances, it doesn't compute in the natural. But don't ever trust yourself, it says. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you. So we talked about in your own understanding being your own ability of knowing, your own intelligence, your own skill. You're able to grasp the meaning or the reasonableness of something. You can formulate it and think it through. Know how something works, or to know how something's going to happen. The opposite of some of that, as far as that understanding, is misapprehend, misconceive, misinterpret. You'll misperceive it. You'll misunderstand it. If you don't understand it, you're going to have a misunderstanding. Anybody ever had a misunderstanding with someone? And then you come to find out, as you talk it out or figure out, you go, oh, now I understand. Now it's been explained to me. But the opposite of understanding, the opposite of knowing something, of having the intellect about understanding what it's about or the skill of it, is to have a misinterpretation of it, a misperception, misunderstanding, a misconceiving of it. A lot of times we think to ourselves, and it's kind of like in us, that we need to know the how, the when, the where, and how this is all going to play out in our life as God takes us down into the paths of different things that he is directing us on. And, you know, isn't it great that everybody that's here today, you're all on a different path than the person next to you? Isn't that great? Because God has a special purpose in your life, a special direction that he wants you to go. He's got something that only you will be able to accomplish in your life, whether it's in a person that you're going to have contact with, or a family member, or a friend, or whatever the case might be, a coworker, a stranger, a complete stranger, but he's going to bring your path and their path across, and you're going to fulfill something if we lean on his understanding and try to not, you know, play God and not try to put our own thoughts into it. You ever heard it sometimes where somebody says, you know, you're thinking so much about it that, you know, it's getting you more confused? You know, you're trying to conceive it and perceive it, and it's like, oh, the more I think on it, that I'm getting more confused, because your mind begins to add so many more blocks and pieces to it than what it really is going to take. Because I think the things with God are pretty simple, and they're pretty straightforward. When this comes into the area of following God or listening to God and even reading the Word of God, you know, we have difficulties in reading His Word because sometimes it doesn't make what? Sense. And if you read it as just a reader of literature and just reading different passages and books and different things that took place, Old Testament and New Testament, you may look at it as saying that does not make sense. And I, even in myself, as I read some of these scriptures and you come across something, it's even now you go, man, this doesn't make sense. But you continue to read it and you continue to formulate it and allow the Spirit of God to open it up more into your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Lord said that when He goes, the Holy Spirit will come, so He'll lead you in the truth and He'll teach you and show you, and He'll speak the same things, or He'll speak what God is speaking. And so we have that as we go into even chapters or verses in the Bible. Sometimes we ourselves might say, this is hard for me to understand, Lord. But here again, by faith, I'm going to trust You. By faith, I walk, not by sight. And so we take His Word initially, and it says to please Him, it's going to take faith, right? Please the Lord, it's going to take faith. You've got to have your faith built up. You've got to keep working on your faith. The only way you can work on anything of a thinking of a muscle to keep it strong is to what? Use it. To keep it daily in your motion of things. Sit for 7 days. I tell you what, just sit for, you know, at the ages that we get to sometimes, just sit for maybe 2 or 3 hours solid and try to get up. Or go to a meeting for an hour and a half and then you get up and it's like, oh, you know, you got to stand up, get oriented a little bit, and start saying, okay, now, right foot go in front of the left foot, you know. It gets to the point to where your body gets to that point as we get older, of course. But even in anything, if we don't continue to use these things around us, our arms, our muscles, our legs, they will slowly shut down. If we don't use our faith, pretty well it will begin to shut down. Our faith will get to that level to where it's at, and it'll stop right there. Oh, you've got faith for this, but you don't have faith for that. Well, remember, I've got faith for this because now it's already happened and I can see the results of it. Remember, once it's come into being, once that has happened, it's no longer faith. Now you see it, or now it's happened. And now you've got to stretch your faith for something else. You've got to say, what next, God? What else is there? And He will take you down that path of being able to help you with your faith. Anybody been stretched in your faith this week? No? Well, next week maybe. A month ago, were you stretched in your faith? Have you had to believe for something that was kind of out of your realm? You had to trust for something to happen that by natural instincts and looking at it, you'd say, I don't think this is going to come to be. I don't think it's going to happen. And then you go to prayer, you search His Word, you stand in faith, and you confess it before Him. And, you know, many times we say, God is our provider. And He's going to take care of these things. Amen. Do you believe that He's your provider? I believe you just be straight up with people. You don't have to tell them a story. You don't have to make up anything. You just be straight on with them and who you are in your faith and what God has done in your life. And that, you know, I expect an honest shake by the world. Now, will I always get an honest shake by the world? No. There's a lot of them out there want to, you know, conniving and try to take what they can or just do what they just barely need to do to complete whatever. And, you know, when that happens, you know what I do? I still have to trust God. It may not have been the right way and may have been not done properly or whatever the case might be. But then I go to my God and I say, God, this did not turn out the way I thought. This did not turn out the way it was supposed to by agreement or whatever. I feel I've been wronged, God, but I place it before you. You're my provider, and I'm going to just ask you to have your way and make a way where there seems to be no way. Anybody had to tell God, Lord, make a way where there seems to be no way? A lot of things going on in our lives, aren't there? Tell you what, oh boy. And just, I've been dealing with, I have barely scratched the surface of having my house redone from the hail from May 3rd or 5th, you know, May. I've just done minuscule little things. And the few things I've done, it's been a headache. I've had to go back. I've had to, this isn't right. This is not this. My air conditioner, yeah, my goodness, I could write a book on that. You know, I thought to myself, I was trying to take care of a problem that could happen, you know. And ever since they put in a new coil outside in the end of June, I've been having problems with our air conditioning staying cool or cycling and what it's supposed to be doing. So I got into my fourth service call after like middle of July already, you know. And so last Monday, I guess, I just called in. Now, Monday, I was upset. I was ticked off, man. I was like, I am so frustrated. This is crazy. I could kick myself for having them change that out there. It really wasn't broken. It was just damaged, you know, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I call in. Thank God Monday comes. And I dropped Dean off at work, and I stopped down at Monterey, and as the water's going down and there's mud everywhere. I call the company, and hello, it's a good day yet, how can we help you, or whatever, you know. I go, I'm just calling in. I said, I'm just a little frustrated. And I explained, and oh no, that shouldn't, anyway, it's going to be taken care of, you know. They sent out a technician along with one of the owners came out, and we had a good conversation, and everything was good. But I didn't go and demand things. I didn't go and say, I expect this, or whatever. I just pled my case and say, this is what I try to do, blah, 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 blah. Well, anyway. There. March. Well, praise God. Patience is coming, Lord. Yeah. Well, I told my neighbor, he goes, well, have you had anything done on your house yet? You know, the roof and the siding. I said, no. I said, it's been so long. I said, I don't even remember what we agreed on now. I said, I have no idea. I said, when they come, they'll come, and I'll say, is that what we chose? Oh, I guess. But, you know, I think you share that example, and you stay within the realms of not getting crazy out there and upset and yelling, and I demand this, you know, and I just state my case. That's all you've got to do. I said, look, we've already paid $1,200 for this thing here, and my air conditioner is not working. I said, even if I have to buy another air conditioner to switch out the whole thing, I'm sure you'll refund this or put it to that or whatever. I said, I'm willing to work with anything, you know. I'm not looking for a free handout. So, but anyway, they're going to work on it. We're going to get a new inside coil for nothing this next week, so they're going to replace that. But, you know, it's just taking that and turning it over to God. I get so frustrated, and I know Dean, bless her heart, she's there with me, and we discuss things back and forth, and it's like, I'm so upset about this. Anyway, but you got to say, but God, I turn it over to you. And I tell those guys, those repair guys that come or those guys that something, I said, I'm going to tell you, I said, God is my provider, and I'm serving God, and God's going to take care of me. Now I've got a problem. You need to help me with it and figure this thing out, you know. But anyway, it was a good outcome. But you get frustrated. It's just life. See, it's just life. Many of the week's messages have been on, I've talked with people, I'm going through it, you're going through it, people that are even mild mere acquaintances that I have. You hear the stories they're going through, and after a while you sit there and you go, oh my God, it's just, there's life happening everywhere, and sometimes life is not always on an even keel and everything's smooth. There's a lot of choppy water out there, you know, and I said one time, you know, our boat needs to be, you know, calm in the sea of waves. And I tell you, it's sometimes hard to keep your boat calm, isn't it? And when those boats begin to rock a little bit in my life, I've got to remember who I am. I've got to remember who is in me. And I've got to remember that on Isaiah 55, 8, 9, where he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." I've got to relinquish that and say, "Lord, I don't understand all of this, but you've got the beginning to the end figured out." And that brings me to this point here of saying that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We've got to keep that before us as well. We've got to keep a lot of, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to keep a lot of God's word before us. Amen? I'm going to tell you, one scripture or two scriptures is not going to sustain your life, per se, for the whole year. Because stuff keeps happening. And you need to have an arsenal of scriptures of God's word that you can go back to, whether it's for this or for that or for that or for this or for this over here, whatever the case might be and whatever you're going through. And it's that point of number one, it goes back to where trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him. I'm out there acknowledging him to those people that are serving my house, my contractor. I said, "God is my source. God is my provider. I'm going to believe you're going to do a good job. I'm going to expect that from you, but God is going to take care of this for me." I'm acknowledging to them who I am and who's in me. And if they thought about maybe doing something wrong, they're going to think, "Well, I better do something right because he's got God on his side." You know? I don't know. I don't know. But it's nothing wrong with saying, "God is in my life. I serve him. I'm a child of his. I'm in his kingdom. And he's going to take care of this." I don't understand it, do you? I don't. The time back when we had the initial estimate of what was going to be done, and I shared how the adjuster initially said, "Backside and the north side, that's what we'll cover." I didn't stand up and go, "Well, that doesn't seem right. I want it all." I told the adjuster, "God will provide. God will take care of us, you know." And you kind of give your testimony a little bit. You share things with God and what you do, because people say, "What do you do?" Blah, 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 blah. So I resigned it and said, "Okay, that's fine. Praise God." And before he left, he ended up saying, we'll do the whole house. Because the one thing that was prompted to me by somebody else, and I think the Spirit brought it back to me, because this happened, you know, many weeks back, where this contractor came through and pointed out something in an area up towards the front of the house that I could, all of a sudden, it came back to my memory when this guy said, "Is there anything I missed?" And I believe the Spirit reckoned that, brought that back and said, "Well," I'm thinking to myself, "Well, I don't know if it's going to make a difference." I'm talking to myself. I said, "Well, and we know the story." Before he leaves, he comes back to the night. I went back, sat in my chair in the backyard in the shade, and just sat there and said, "Well, Lord, however it's going to be nice, and it'll be taken care of, blah, 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 blah," you know. And I don't take those things to the point of saying just haphazard, "Oh, well, we'll just do this, and there'll be a bag of money come out of the sky." You know, "I've been good to the birds and the hummingbirds. They'll bring me all kinds of, you know, money." No. You know, the squirrels, they look at me. You know, I got a squirrel sits in the bush right in front of our house. I've never seen a squirrel sit in a bush that's kind of a loose bush. There's not a branch in it. I looked out there one morning, and he's sitting in that thing looking in our window. He's like... And then before I know it, he went down into the bush. Well, that's tough. I make the birds start cleaning it up on the ground, too. After I said, "It's empty. A couple of days, let it go empty. Get on the ground, guys. Clean it up." But you see those things. But so you don't do it in a way of hauntiness and like, "Oh, God's going to do this for me." But it's that trust. It's just like God loves us. And I'm serving him, and you're serving him, and if we're serving him, he'll take care of us. And now, granted, it may not be the way I thought. It may not be the way you think. But he's still taking care of you. That's where we've got to get to that point. "I don't understand this, Lord, that this is how you're taking care of it, because I, in my intellect and my thought, wanted it to do it this way. But I'm going to receive it. I'm going to believe it. And things will work out." And if I can't get to that level of understanding, I'm going to pray and say, "Lord, help me have faith. Help me have belief. Give me strength. Give me whatever it is. Give me the peace that it's all going to work out. Don't they say that the darkest hour of the night is just before dawn? Hold on, my child, you know. So we find these things in our life day in and day out. We find this where we've got to trust God. We've got to get away from our own understanding of anything and everything that deals with this life. And we've got to put it over to God. So anyway, back in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Now I get in a conversation with God. So I say, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." God is saying, Tim, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Tim. Tim, your way is not my way. You've got to get this understood. Well, how am I going to understand that? Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him. I don't understand this, Lord. My ways aren't yours. My thoughts are not your thoughts, He says. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9 of Isaiah 55, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, we can have a lot of crazy thoughts, and we've got a lot of different thoughts. Anybody got a thought in your head right now? You know, just think of that thought. But it's not God's thought, possibly. It's your thought, but His thoughts are higher than that. We know that man uses just a small part of their brain, right? And some of us would probably say, some people that I know use a lot less than that, you know? Even if we could use all of our brain, we would still not be able to think like God. The Creator is greater than His creation. God thinks a thought, speaks the word, and whatever it is, it happens. He spoke the world into being, into existence. He spoke everything. Vegetation, animals, flowers, you name it, everything. He spoke and it happened. God thinks a thought, speaks the word, and whatever it is, it happens. It is as simple as that. God is not a man that he should sin. Man has a carnal mind, and until he takes on the mind of Christ, God's mind is spiritual. There we get into that realm of renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind. Have the mind of Christ. There's a lot of things I'm saying, again, that we've got to go through in a process in our Christian walk, that we are following His word, that we're meditating with Him, that we trust Him, that we don't lean on our understanding, that we've got to realize His ways aren't mine, my ways aren't His. I've got to realize if I want to succeed in this, whatever this is, I've got to lay my understanding aside. I've got to lay my thoughts aside. I've got to place my plans aside and say, "Lord, it's all you. Here I am. I'm a clean slate. Write on me, draw on me, direct me, whatever it is." Amen. Now, He has given us some wisdom and understanding to where we can make choices and decisions. He's given us that free will. So, I don't want you to, you know, wake up in the morning and pray whether or not you should, you know, brush your teeth. Pray whether, "Lord, should I shave today?" You know, all these things, those are just basic things. Yes, you ought to do all those things. You don't need the Lord to confirm it with you. That's just, you know, hygiene or whatever the case might be. But a lot of our life is still around prayer and praying to Him and asking Him to call our steps or to call out those steps each day. Even as we go to work and as we go to whatever we're going to, "Lord, I give you this day. Lord, I know my task at hand, and if things arise that I can't control, I turn them over to you. Lord, if things happen in my job that is out of my control and it's going to cause me frustration and aggravation, I already call you to take care of it, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to prepare the way." Do we ask the Lord every day to prepare the way for us? You know, we ought to. "Prepare me the way." Was that John the Baptist said that? "Prepare ye the way for the Jesus, this man that's coming." Well, in our daily life, it's probably not wrong to sit there and say, "Lord, I'm going to do what I can do, and you give me knowledge, you give me strength, you give me wisdom. I've got the mind of Christ, I've got your scriptures, I'm going to hold all this in and use it. And Lord, I'm asking you to prepare the way today." And anything that is not good, remove it, change it, whatever it is. Whatever is not good, if it happens and I don't understand it, Lord, I'm going to have to lean on your understanding. I'm going to have to lean on you to get me through it. And when all else happens, you know what I might have to do? Is I might just have to rest in that. I might have to just, and when all else fails, what does it say in his word? Stand. When everything else around you, is, you've tried, and when all this is happening, you might need to get to that level to where, well, I'm going to stand, and I'm not going to be movable. I'm going to trust in on him. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to get my understanding away from this thought, and I'm just going to focus on him and say, Lord, have thy way. Provide, Lord, what I'm to have, or provide what I am to do. Help me. And even if I don't understand it, I need to ask for his understanding. Lord, I don't understand this. Would you clue me in? Would you help me with a little bit of understanding if it would help, Lord? What is it? I would encourage you to have a lot of good daily conversations with God, especially when you get locked into a problem, when you get locked into a situation that all of a sudden everything is working well, and one little thing happens, another little thing happens, and pretty soon, within 10 or 15, 20 minutes, or by the end of the hour, everything is just like, what in the world happened? Many of us have gone to work, you know, and it's been a great day up until like 10:52. And then all of a sudden, 10:53 a.m. hits, and something happens. It's like, what in the world happened now, you know? Have you ever talked to somebody and go, how's things going? Great. Call them an hour or two or in the afternoon, how are things going? It's crazy, you know? I just let you know. Things are just constantly in motion and action, and things are happening. But for the child of God, we should call back to him and say, Lord, give me help, give me strength, give me an understanding. Help me get through this day. If nothing else, make it get to be, you know, whatever time you get off, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, whatever the case, 3 o'clock. Make it hurry. Well, we got to remember that God is way above our thinking, way above our understanding. God's ways are beyond the comprehension of man. God is all-knowing. Man knows only a fraction of the here and now. God is living in eternity. He knows all because everything is a part of his plan. We talk about that. He knows the beginning to the end and everything in between. I am so happy to know he's got my tomorrow planned out, amen, and the week planned out. I don't know. I've got a schedule, I've got appointments, I've got this and that, yes, as you all do, but God, he knows the finite of what's going to happen in each one of those times, in the minutes, even down to the seconds. We get into times of making decisions. We sometimes feel like we can't trust anyone, not even God. But God knows what is best for us. We need to trust him completely. He has given us this ability to think of some daily ongoing things that we make a decision on. We use our wisdom, we use understanding, we do these things. But day in and day out, we also realize that we need to know that even in those little things, sometimes it's good to just know that God is there. It's good to keep God by your side. It's good to know that he's right there, attached to your hip, right hip, left hip, somewhere. You know, he talks about in his word, he goes before you, he's behind you, he's on each side of you. He's there to protect you. We need to be willing to listen and to be corrected by God's word. And even, yes, you know, it talks in Proverbs, and this is out of Proverbs. Proverbs is a wonderful book. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in latter days. You know, this is, you know, there's godly wisdom in the counsel of others, you know, because you use their experiences, you use their wisdom, you use things that God has helped them with, whatever the case might be. God has given us a lot of tools to use to get through this life, don't you think? Jesus Christ to give us salvation and eternity, the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us and to teach us and to talk to us, to have that communication one-on-one with God himself. He's put people around you that have wisdom in whatever it may be. You know, and I, you know, as much as we kind of get down on this, I don't know if God brought Google into our lives for stuff. I don't know. You know, we do a lot of Google things, find out a lot of things there. Some of it's kind of crazy, but, you know, God has things around you to use to help you. The number one thing, of course, is His Word. Right along with number one is number one, 1-1 is the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, He's got all of these things for us to use. I would encourage you to use them. Don't take on the day with your own understanding of how things are going to work out. Listen to those around you as well that may be able to counsel you and give you some advice. When you have decisions, don't leave God out of that wise counsel that you get. Go to Him in prayer. Use His Word that you find in Scriptures. He will lead you. Amen. He will guide you. Today, I want you to look at areas in your life that you have continued to lean on your own understanding. We all have, myself included. Look at today. Take today as you leave here, maybe this week. Ponder some things like, where am I still leaning on my own understanding of things? And begin to work on those things. Amen. One way to realize that you've shut God out of the direction you're taking is you have problems and nothing seems to work. You're just in a constant problem circle, you know. You just, things are happening and it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. When that's happening, I would probably stop the whole thing and say, stop the train and go to God in prayer. Go to His Word. Look through Scriptures. Meditate. Sit still. Be still and know I am God. It is hard to get people to sit still. You put, you know, If we would just stop talking and just everything would just be quiet and calm here and say, everybody sit still. And about, you know, myself included, it wouldn't be long, I'd be fidgeting. I'd be stirring around. I'd be moving here, kicking my leg around, doing something. But God's Word says, be still and know that I'm God. And that's one of the benefits here again of His Word in us. You know, one or two Scriptures will not sustain you through this life. You need a multitude of His Word to be able to, when you have a time or a trying time, to when you sit here and you can just be, I've got to close myself off to what's going on and I'm just going to sit still and I'm going to listen to God. Many times you can come out here. Many times I've come out here throughout the week and just sat here. Not said a thing. Sometimes I've yelled. But sometimes I've not said a thing. And I just sit here and I say, what's it all about, God? And then I'll just sit here. And if the air conditioners aren't on, it's getting hot. And I said, hurry up, God, come on. Like, but there's times in our life, all of us, we just need to stop and sit and listen. And if He hadn't said anything to me, even when I stopped and listened, it was good for me. It was good for me because maybe it's showing me that, Tim, you've got to stop and be prepared to listen. Many times we go through life and God has got directions for us, but we don't hear them because we're busy. We're busy doing this. We're busy doing that. We're busy this and that. And all the things that we're busy in probably seems to be pretty good things. And, you know, a lot of them may be good things to be busy at, but busy too much can out-busy you. And as we get to go doing too much, pretty soon God gets pushed off to the side, just like other things happen in our life, you know. You can't do it all. When you focus on this so much, something over here has to be abandoned. We've got to go through this life with an understanding that we've got to keep God first. We've got to keep Him before us. We've got to keep ourselves listening for Him. We've got to know that when something is happening in our lives, don't try to deal with it yourself. You know, if it's beyond your ability or if it's taxing you to the point where I just don't know. Go to Him in prayer. Jesus, about 1,000 years after Solomon had stated to seek God in all that we do in the Proverbs here, in Matthew 6:33 says this, don't worry and say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? That's what those people that don't know God are always thinking about. Don't worry, the easy read version says, because your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these things. Verse 33, what you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. The New King James will say this in 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus was sharing that in the New Testament, kind of like what Solomon was sharing and what we read in Proverbs. We need to trust God. We need to lean on him. We need to have his understanding. Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of God. If we can seek that every day, I think you'll be on pretty good ground. Proverbs 16:13 will come back and say, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord. Whatever I'm going to do today, God, I know this is my secular job. I know this is what I'm doing. This is what you've placed me here for. I don't understand it. The people I'm working around are all terrible people. They all talk dirty. They're all dirty jokes. Whatever. I don't like it, Lord, but you put me here. But do your work. Commit that to the Lord. And changes come about. It's an amazing thing how changes happen. Sometimes little by little, sometimes overnight, it's hard to say. But you go wherever the Lord has put you, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. He will give you things to say. He will be with you. Closing out here in 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. And here it is. And today we need to do the same thing. Serve God with a loyal heart. Loyal. Loyalty. What does that tell you when you hear somebody says, I'm loyal to you? Or you hear someone in a workplace and they say, boy, you know, your workers, they have a lot of loyalty to you, you know. Have a loyal heart and, continuing on, and with a willing mind. So here again, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Serve him with that loyal heart. Have a willing mind. Sometimes that willing mind is just to say, you know, I'm going to disconnect my understanding, my thoughts, and I'm going to plug your understanding and your thoughts into my mind, Lord. Because he said in his word, didn't he? Have the mind of Christ. If we can continue to go that direction, have the mind of Christ, have a loyal heart to him, want the most in this life is to please God, not man. I think a lot of things will be good in your life on this side of heaven. We know heaven is waiting, and heaven's going to be a glorious place. It's going to be a fun place. It's going to be a beautiful place. It's going to be we can't even imagine it. Even when people that have gone and come back, some of their things and what they share about it, we can't really comprehend it, you know? But I know on this side of heaven that we have a good possibility, and we can have a good life. It's where do you put your trust? Where do you put your faith? You know, where do you lean upon? Do you lean upon the world for their direction, or do you lean upon God for his? God says, lean upon me, guys. And not onto your understanding, but mine. And be sure to ask him if you don't understand these things or you can't quite surrender these things to him. Be willing to say, I have a hard time, God. I want to obey your word. I want to please you. Help me, Lord. Give me the strength. Give me the ability, whatever it is, because I want to please you. Amen? Nothing wrong with pleasing God. And we need to please him more and more in the world that we're in, don't you think? He's getting kicked out more and more. We gotta hold on to him more and more in our world, you know. Hold on, it's getting close, you know. But he's there for us, praise God. He loves us. He loves you. Just lean on him and not onto your own understanding. Allow him to be what he wants to be. Amen.